Hi, my name is Hope. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you, Cindy, for inviting me for an opportunity to give service. My first OA meeting, I was 24 years old. It's October 11th, 1977. And I have never left. That's the only thing I've done perfectly. I keep coming back to meetings. It didn't matter what I was eating or doing or living. I've lived on three different continents. And I even today, I will not graduate from this program. There's no advanced degree. There's no, and I know that's why I've taken the first step so thoroughly, is because I know I'm a compulsive overeater and my life is unmanageable and I need to stay here one day at a time for the rest of my life, but one day at a time. So, when I was overweight as a child, it's probably when I was started to be 10, when I was about 10. And I gained most of my weight actually in sixth grade. And the reason I know this is that because they used to bring a scale into the room and put it next to the teacher's desk, and you used to weigh yourself for your report card 4 times a year. And I remember the weights that were like 126 or something. And then, anyway, at the end of sixth grade, I was 152. And if I'd stayed 152, I probably would have been fine. But I gained another 50 pounds, and so I spent the years from age 12 to 16 at 200 pounds, and it really sucked. If you've been an obese teenager, you know what I'm talking about. I don't have any horror stories about my home life. You hear sometimes people that, will the dysfunctional. No, I'm an only child. I was loved. We had enough money. We traveled. I was doted on. My mother never said anything to me about my weight. It doesn't really matter how I became a compulsive overeater. The important thing is that I recognize it, I admit it, and I want to live in recovery today. It's like, what am I going to do about it? Am I going to live in the solution or live in the problem? And today I choose to live in the solution. So when I was 16 years old, I went to a pay and weigh because I resolved that when I was going to college in a year, I would not be 200 pounds. I was going to start over. Nobody would know me. I'd go where nobody from college went. And I lost 50 pounds and I never regained those 50 pounds. The pay and weigh taught me a lot about food and nutrition and all that. When I was 16, I was not ready for a 12-step program. God puts the right thing in your life at the right time. So I went away to college and, I managed to keep the weight off. And then this is a progressive disease, as we all know. And I got married when I graduated college. And after a year in Chicago, we moved to Jacksonville, Florida. And I know I was like a size 6 or 8. And I was very, obsessed with food, like weighing and measuring and doing all those things I did on the pay and weigh and all that. And I was a lifetime member and all. But things happened and I w took on a lot of projects that I really shouldn't have and couldn't handle. And that's when the insanity started kicking in and I really started using food a lot. And the first spiritual experience or awakening I ever had was right before my first meeting. Something told me that the pay and weigh wasn't going to work anymore. I don't know what it was, but I had crossed that line, that line from like casual binger to compulsive overeater. And when I came into program, I was probably still a size 8. I was out of my mind because I couldn't stop eating. So, as I said, I kept coming back, and nobody knew what they were doing in Jacksonville, Florida in 1977, trust me. But I kept coming back. There was one guy who was an AA, and he he did a 12-step program, 12-step series, and I went into that and everything. And we moved. I kept coming back, and I got a sponsor. I gave away a 4-step. I ate. I didn't eat. I never gained weight, but I was back and forth and back and forth. It was like my infancy in program. And after 9 months, we moved to Southern California. And I was so excited to get out of Jacksonville and go where OA was really strong. And I got a sponsor, and I used to, this is what I did. I weighed and measured my food, and it was very rigid and all that. And I remember weighing myself at the hospital, the balance scale at the hospital, and I was 132 pounds. Okay. I was also 20. What the hell, 25. Okay. And my husband went to Adak, Alaska, in the Aleutian Islands for 6 weeks. Is it TD? I guess it's called TDY or TAD, whatever. And the night before he came home, I went down to Los Angeles and bought all this sugary stuff for him and put it on the seat next to me in the car. And you can imagine what happened on the way home to Cerritos. And it took me 16 months to get out of that relapse. And in those 16 months, I was a size 8 and I was out of my mind. I was binging and dieting and whatever. I mean, I was very, I kept going to meetings. I was honest. But there was no other place to go. And I'll tell you what happened. One of the things that happened that helped me get out of this is I had this epiphany while I was getting onto a freeway bus during the Arab oil embargo. I used to take the bus from this movie theater in Cerritos, La Mirada, to downtown LA to work, and I had this epiphany that God made everything, and so God made food. So, and God doesn't make anything that's bad. So all food is good. Okay. There's no such thing as a bad food or a good food. The thing is, for me, as a compulsive overeater, there are certain foods that trigger my disease. And for me, those are, I won't say bad, but those are not foods that I eat. If I eat those foods, they will trigger my phenomenon of craving and my disease. So I have to abstain from those particular foods. And there was no like, in the pay and weigh was like, oh, you can eat anytime as long as it's carrots or this or that or whatever. All of a sudden, there was no such thing as if you eat this, it's, wrong, or if you eat this, it's right or anything. It was just food. Personally, I don't believe that there's such a thing as abstinent and non-abstinent food. And I hear people talk about that. And if that works for you, great. But I think food is just food. It's not a moral issue. Food is food. Even lard must have some kind of purpose or good purpose. And, but for me, there are certain foods that block my connection to my higher power. And I cannot eat those foods. I choose to stay in recovery today. On a personal level, we decided we were going to have children, and I was infertile, and so we adopted two children, two babies. And this was before IVF. This was, this is 1980. This is before IVF. This is before, all that stuff. We adopted two babies. And the second one turned out to be bipolar. He's bipolar. And so that was really, really defined our family life. And it still does, really. I mean, he's 43, and it still does because, your kids get older, but they never leave you. But I've learned to detach. I've learned that all my kids have higher powers and it's not me. And all I can give is unconditional love and not enable. And it's been quite a journey with this, I'll say kid, it's been quite a journey. It still is. But during that time, I used to say to my higher power, why did this baby wind up in our family? He could have gone anywhere. You know, it was really, really tough. And then, there's some things that it's not for me to know the reason. God is testing me, or God thinks I can handle it. They say God doesn't give you any more than you can handle. So I used to say, God, why did you make me so strong? So I realized that we had the financial capability and the emotional, the marriage was good. We're married almost 52 years. This year will be 52 years to handle this child. And when I say financial, I mean when he was 16 years old, we had goons come into his bedroom and whisk him away to a wilderness program in Idaho and emotional growth boarding schools. And just you name it, you name it. So it was very difficult. We had two more children that I gave birth to after we adopted the two. So we had four, and my youngest just turned 39. So we lived overseas for 7 years. We lived in Africa, we lived in India, because my husband left the Navy and went into the State Department, and I started meetings there. This was before the internet. I started meeting. I developed a very, very close friend in India who was like 30 years sober or something in AA, and we're still very good friends today. And I'll kind of bring it up to what it is today, okay? Because I keep coming back, the ninth and 10th step promises have come true for me. So what are the ninth and 10th step promises? I love the 10th step promises. It says, we will see that our attitude toward food comes automatically. We have not sworn off. It's just been removed. We're neither cocky nor are we afraid. That's how we keep if we are in fit spiritual condition. And I have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And I don't white knuckle those foods anymore, like on a diet, like, oh God, to try to keep away from it. It's just not an option. It's not an issue. And that's how I know it's a higher power, because left to my own devices, this would not be possible. So today I feel like I'm living in recovery on all three levels. I have a, I think physically, I have a healthy body weight. I don't weigh myself. I don't do numbers. I don't weigh myself. I don't count anything. I don't count days or years or anything, because numbers screw me up. I was never good in math anyway. I say that I have 48 years of recovery in this program. I don't use the word abstinence. Because I have never left. And every day in recovery builds on to the next day. I don't believe for me in starting over. It's just one day at a time, and I keep trudging the road of happy destiny, as they say. I have been, I go by, to be honest with my physical recovery, I go by my size generally. And your body changes a lot from 25 to 73, guys. You know that. And I've been an 8 in the program. I've been a 10. I've been a 12. I've been a 14. I've been a 12. I've been a 10. Now I'm like a 12 to 14 again. And you know what? That's fine. My goal today is to be healthy. I want to be healthy on all three levels. I have a connection with my higher power. I have emotional sobriety and food neutrality most of the time. And the honest truth is, I am not willing to eat cottage cheese and grapefruit for the rest of my life to be a size 8, because that's what I would have to do. And I don't like cottage cheese. I like grapefruit, but I just won't do it. I won't do it. It's not worth it to me. It's not worth it. I've learned, there's three words that I don't use. I try very hard not to use in program, and that's should, never, and always. Because if I use the word should, It's like I'm second guessing my higher power. Oh, I should have done this, or this should, it's useless. And never and always, how do I know? I don't know. I don't know the future. I don't know what'll happen, I am trying to think what else to. I go to a lot of Zoom meetings. I really like hearing different ways of working the program because I try to remain teachable. Somebody told me when I came in that humility meant teachability, and I try to remain teachable and listen and carry the message because, I think we all have a sacred mission or responsibility to carry recovery, to carry the message of recovery to other compulsive overeaters. In the big book, it says you can reach them when no one else can. It's so important. They say, we won't keep, we can't keep it unless we give it away. And I've learned in life that there are no big deals. Everything was a big deal, and there are no big deals. There's just life. And I have principles in the 12 steps. I gotta tell you, I'm a very lazy person. I don't like to work. And I don't say I work the 12 steps. I hate the word work. So I say I practice the principles of the 12 steps. Because if you practice long enough, you get to Carnegie Hall, right? You practice the principles of the 12 steps. And I think that in order to recover in this program, you just need two things. One is you need a higher power because we are powerless. Okay. And number two, you have to practice the principles of the 12 steps in all your affairs. And how you do that is up to you. What you eat is up to you. I mean, what I've eaten changes over time, but I think that's crucial. You must have a higher power and you must practice the principles of the 12 steps. And you know what those 12 steps are because they're all listed in the book. It's honesty, hope, faith, courage, willingness, humility, et cetera, integrity, which everybody should be practicing anyway. And I don't know, I'm just grateful every day to wake up in the morning and I say, to my higher power, help me today to make good choices in my food, in what I say, what I do. Help me to say something to help another person carry the message. I don't know what's in store tomorrow. I hope I wake up tomorrow. That's the thing. I'm just really grateful that I kept coming back for 48 years. Whether I was eating or not eating, whatever I was doing, wherever I was living, whatever I looked like, I kept coming back. Whatever my family situation was, I kept coming back. And that is like what I'll leave you with. You gotta keep coming back because if you're not in the rooms, it's much harder to recover than if you're out of the rooms. So I guess that's all. I have a minute and a half left. Thank you.